for my ally is the Force. And a powerful ally it is. Life creates it. Makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us. You must feel the Force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere. That's not how the Force works.
Michael Burnham.
Go in the distance.
Yeah. We're talking about Michael Burnham.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. I tried to make that as smooth as possible, but hey, it is what it is. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody, welcome to. This won't stay up today. Anyway, welcome to Trekcast.
That's a problem.
Is that new?
No,
or,
this is just,
or have I just never noticed it?
You probably just never noticed it. It won't stay up. So whatever.
You know, there's pills for that.
Yeah. I was waiting for the reference.
I get like 7 emails a day about it. Yeah. So I mean they must work.
They're on everything. Yeah. So where in the world? Oh man. This is all the
Trekcast.
There we go.
Hey, there you go. Better late than never, right?
The galaxy's most unpredictable Star Trek podcast. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So, how was everybody's week?
What's today?
It's Sunday. October 18th.
2020. We're still stuck in the temporal causality loop of 2020.
Yeah. So, you want to know something that'll warm you up a little bit? Okay. So, it is mid October of 2020, the worst year in the year of hell. As Jamie put it, with no problem.
Yeah.
But with that said, we will hit our 300th episode of Trekcast before the movie's out. So
nice.
That's another milestone. We hit 4 million total downloads, a little over 4 million total downloads at this point, way over. And now we'll hit the 300th episode. So there you go. I don't know how many episodes that is for us. I'm just saying 300 for the whole show.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll I saw a meme that said that this year is clearly a time traveler is trying to fix something that went wrong.
Yes.
And that's why everything just keeps going.
Yeah. Each time they fix it, something else pops up. And that's why the murder hornets never showed up, because they averted that one.
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. Kind of like that show on Netflix, The Travelers.
They did show up. They did show up just at my house, though.
Just at your house.
So, I mean, I'll take one. Take one for the universe.
Yeah.
They're in Washington State also. My uncle's here.
Yeah. Well, that's where they're most prominent right now, is up there.
Yeah. So
we'll see if they can get stopped. So what were you up until 2 a.m. in the morning doing, Daniel?
Oh.
Get your hair cut.
Well, he took some of those pills we were just talking about, and it lasted more than 4 hours. So.
Right.
He had a problem.
Yeah. And Jesus. And you know, Daniel usually sleeps face down, so that was an issue.
That's tough. Yeah.
Wasn't gonna happen at that point. No, it wasn't gonna happen.
I was out.
That was it. He's not gonna tell.
That's it.
There's a girl involved. There's none of that. He's just, I was out.
I plead the fifth.
Okay.
That's cool. I respect that.
Yeah. I don't want to keep asking questions. So, no, I'm kidding. Awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't had a night out like that forever. Probably a year. 2019.
Yeah. So. It was very nice. I'll say
Good.
All right.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Happy for you.
And I got the side eye from the dog when I came in.
Yeah, not like, happy. Where have you been doing?
Where have you been?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What is that? I don't think I've ever noticed that before. There's a pillow with the Enterprise on it behind you. Is that what that is? Down on the floor? Yeah.
It's a glass of the Enterprise.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's that glass. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it?
A stained glass of the Enterprise.
Oh, from the chapel. from the original series. There's a chapel on the original Enterprise.
Yeah, yeah. Now we got to see it. Oh, and look at those bumblebee pants.
Wow.
I love it. Nice. That's really nice. Is it cracked or is that just the...
It's slightly cracked.
Yeah. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Cool. I like
it. So I got to figure out a way to put it on the wall because it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
You got to put that on the big picture window in the living room so everyone can see it from the road.
Suctioned up with lights on it. Yeah. Kind of like the leg.
Yeah, you got to backlight it. There you go.
Yeah, I do want to backlight it. I think it'll look cool.
It would look cool. All right, so you want to get right into the news?
Sure.
Attention all hands. It's time for Star Trek news.
I'm getting my timing down on that.
All right, so our first news story comes to us from The Hollywood Reporter. And the headline reads, Star Trek Discovery renewed for season 4 at CBS All Access.
I know. I thought
it was canceled.
Right. Right. Well, did you not see
it's so bad they had to fire Alex Kurtzman. And then they realized it's so bad we have to hire someone to fix it. So they hired Alex Kurtzman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what happened?
Okay. That's what happened. Yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah. So, it was renewed, I think, a day or two after the episode of season 1 or season 3 debuted. So yeah, they're also going to start filming season 4 November 2nd. So that's really quick.
Yeah.
So it stands to reason that picture that we showed, the, you know, same season 4, that must have been a costume fitting or a table.
Yeah.
Room.
Yep. You know what put it over the top?
What's that?
It was Morn. Everybody loved seeing Morn.
Oh, yeah. They put Morn in a cat, and there you go. Season 4 is in the bag.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
I got questions about that cat. We'll get into it when we start talking about the episode.
Oh,
but,
I saw the Will Wheaton show. I know a lot about the cat now.
Good. Yeah. So, okay. I didn't see the Will Wheaton show.
Oh, I didn't either.
No.
I suffer for you people.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our second news story comes from CBR. I think that's comicbookresources.com. The headline is Star Trek Discovery Picard boss has mapped out 7 years of stories. So the great Alex Kurtzman has revealed that he and his creative team have 7 years of stories planned out. They do admit that nothing is set in stone. This is just kind of where they're planning to go, but you know, they will shift on a dime if they need to.
Yeah. It's all fancy blood and mysteries of the mind.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
That's code. When he says nothing is set in stone, that means the entire timeline is going to be erased in the last episode. Just put it out there.
Well, they have to do the same thing with Riker again, right? He's just on a holodeck watching all of it.
I'm wondering of those 7 years, how many evil robots we will see.
Well, that's another question I have, too, about the evil robots thing, because here we go again with that. But we'll get into that. Yeah.
What do you mean, here we go? Here we go.
The opening credit scene has robots in it. Some weird little robots that look like they come from Lost in Space. Where the hell those come from?
Yeah, I hit the can. I hit the can during the credits. I didn't.
Oh my gosh, you missed it.
I mean, I'm a nerd, but
missed it. Oh man, there's a couple.
And then our last news story is from Screen Rant, and this is kind of a fun little thing that has gotten out. Star Trek. Wesley Snipes almost cast for Next Generation.
I knew that.
Yeah. So it's slow news week.
How is it a slow news week? How is it a slow news week?
I kind of wish he did.
He was up 2 a.m. What do you want?
He was up for LaForge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad
I kind of wish it was him because I would love to see that scene where, you know, Geordi saves the ship. And you hear Picard over the intercom say, you know, excellent work, Mr. LaForge. And he just says, always bet on black.
Yeah. or he's like, some motherfucker's always trying to ice skate uphill. Picard's like, what?
Let's do another show like this. I haven't paid my taxes in 5 years.
Yeah. There was something in this article I didn't know. Apparently, Geordi LaForge is named after a huge fan. Yeah. Who was a quadriplegic named George LaForge.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he passed away in 1975. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's basically it. That's the news stories.
So, I don't know. Did I miss a week? STLV is canceled. Was that last week?
Or... Yeah, last week.
Yeah.
Okay, we already talked about that. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So well, I'm going to redo my vacation. What'd you say?
It's August of next year now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's essentially canceled. It's no longer... Yeah.
For this year, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, technically, next year, it's not an official Star Trek convention.
Yeah, I don't think we talked about that last week. I don't know what the deal is with that.
Well, it was official for 20 years, so I'm assuming they probably had a 20-year license or two 10-year licenses.
And, yeah, something like that.
And it expired, and CBS is probably like, hey, Star Trek's hot right now, so this is how much we want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were probably like, hey, the people are going to come to this thing, whether the word official is on there or not.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't think it's a big deal.
Do you think it means, though, that CBS is going to try to have their own thing, or they're going to try to expand on their own thing during San Diego Comic-Con type stuff like they've been doing, or...
That's the thing to do now. Like, Disney does the D23, so it's all Marvel and Star Wars and all that. DC Comics did their own fandom. They wanted to originally do that as a actual convention themselves. Yeah, they're all getting into the convention game for their own thing. Even video games have been doing that, too. Like, they don't go to E3 anymore. They have their own events.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wah, wah.
It won't matter in terms of attendance,
but
it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. It's still going to be a kick-ass party to go to.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a party where there's 3,000 people around you who love all the same shit you do. So whether it says official on the title or not, doesn't matter.
Nope, won't make it. He'll be sure.
Still
be fun.
Yeah.
That and you know the names are still going to be there because they're still going to get their appearance fee. Mm-hmm. And their signing fee and all that. So
yeah, it won't change for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be fun.
I could see CBS though being a little bit of a dick on the newer shows and saying, well, you guys can't go to that. You're going to our own thing. Contractually, you're obligated to go to our own thing.
I think they'll still allow them. I think what's going to be, you won't get the big news drops anymore.
We haven't been. No, we really haven't been.
They'll save it for their own thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's when you'll get the trailers. That's when you'll get the announcements. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 3 years ago, I think it was STLV where Patrick Stewart dropped the news about Picard. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, that won't happen.
And then he took the cast out to lunch and he said, none of you guys from TNG will be on the show. And then apparently he lied to them.
Come on, Grandpa. All right.
Yeah.
So we're ready to go back into feedback?
Yeah, let's go to feedback.
Hailing frequencies. Open.
Seems like everything's a little hot.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a ton of feedback. I don't know what you got, Daniel.
Well, let's start with yours.
So first things first, Paul Chin sent me a message through Messenger on Facebook, and he says, hey, I really hope the Discovery steers away from everything about Michael stuff and focuses on the ensemble cast, like in DS9. It wasn't all about Cisco. And then, of course, he's like, well, I have to wait until tomorrow night for Netflix for Europe. It's a day late. And he says, the whole Star Trek universe content and marketing is very U.S.-centric, and it limits them from a lot of viewers and, most importantly, money. So that was kind of his initial feedback before he even got to watch the latest episode. So then once he watched it, he said the title was a bit misleading. The Indian dude was waiting just for anybody, not Michael, which was kind of a relief, honestly. And then he says, so Michael was just in the right place at the right time. That's more acceptable. It's kind of the proper way to introduce why she is important, that she just happened to be in the right place at the right time instead of being the one that he's been waiting on for, you know, however long, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to me if that was what they were going to do. And thankfully, they did not. So That's from Paul. And then we got an email in. This is a great email. This is from GhostDoc45, who is Koopster on the Coffee account. He says, "Hey, guys, awesome cast as always. I had to throw in my two cents regarding the uniforms on any of the Trek shows and movies. You weren't entirely off about station uniforms and shipboard uniforms in all the varieties. Starfleet is based on the Navy, a lot more realistic than you might imagine. I'm in 22-plus years of Navy service. We've had countless uniform changes, even in the last 10 years. We've probably had half a dozen major changes. That, coupled with the countless current uniforms we have to maintain in our sea bags, is crazy. Right now, as a LCDR, I have service dress blues, dress whites, dinner dress, short sleeve khaki, summer whites, coveralls, Navy working uniform, camouflage. You used to have green and blue, depending on which options you are on the ship or in the field, and the marine with the Marines or with the Seabees. It's too much to list the variation on all of those as well." You kind of did, Koopster. Anyway, so for
no, Trek, he's right.
He's right. He's right. So for Trek, the flip flop between a few isn't bad. Even Picard's slick suede jacket was fair game. I won't even try to list our approved outerwear jackets. Anyway, thought you guys would find it interesting. Hear you later, Jason Cooper, LCDRNCUSN. Koopster on Coffee. Thanks for that email, man. That's awesome. That's a great breakdown.
No, he made an excellent point.
Yeah. So that's good. Good to hear that.
So does that mean all the subs and like ships have got plenty of closet space? Or
no, they just have to lay on that shit because they don't have any room on subs, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy. I can't imagine having to have all that stuff in your bag everywhere you go.
Oh
yeah.
Man,
the amount of ironing you have to do inside of a closet, essentially. That'd be ridiculous.
I'm just picturing a bunch of sailors running around like, "Who's got the iron?"
Yeah. Honestly, if it was the 24th century and I had that many uniforms, I would probably just replicate a new uniform every morning.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be cleaning anything. I wouldn't be folding anything. Nothing.
No. I imagine they get them wet and they just go lay them over the nuclear reactor and then they're nice and straight.
Yeah. They chafe a little bit. You need some fabric software.
Right.
Aren't those Starfleet uniforms like technically like they've got all sorts of weird enhancements in them? So like if you're in extreme hot or cold, it'll be fine. And
oh, I don't know. I never heard that.
No. I thought I heard something like that before.
I know
like, they're just clothes, but like
only the Mikos have that in an Enterprise. That's it. That's why they're extra puffy.
Yeah.
Well, if you remember Wrath of Khan, when Kirk beams down to the station, they're wearing those big giant field jackets.
Yeah.
And I think those were supposed to be like survival jackets. Like there's all kinds of extra shit in there.
Yeah.
But
it is what it is. Okay. Moving over to the coffee account. I don't think we read. We've got like 1, 2, 3, 4 from the last 7 days. I don't think we read any of those last week. And I think all of these came in right after we recorded the show because we did the show on Saturday.
Yeah, we did it a day earlier.
Okay. So I'll read these four then. We've got Lumberjack Daryl. And he said, "Hey, guys, been a while busy building a cabin in northern BC away from any tech. Been catching up on episodes, finally watching Lower Decks. And I thought it was a great show. The Fracking Titan was definitely the best go to the series. That's his part one, but somehow there's no part two. There's only a part three."
I noticed that. I was like, what the hell's going on?
I don't know. I don't know if it got missed or what. But anyway, he says, "Predictions for Discovery Season 3, Omega Particle exploded in Alpha and Beta Quadrant, causing space travel to cut off from almost everyone, hence Spore Drive, and find the Dax Trill to fill in the blanks, and no transwarp slipstream to get around." He's almost right with a lot of that as far as what we watched. We'll get into that. Then we got another donation from Taryn. Thank you very much. Thank you for the Lower Decks reviews. Looking forward to the Discovery reviews. And then Eric Woods. "The dumbass Red Angel storyline just about did me in STD, but I'm going to give Season 3 a chance because I know you guys will add to the experience, hopefully for the better." Thank you very much, Eric. Those are all awesome donations, guys. We really appreciate it. Lumberjack Daryl, as always, going above and beyond with massive donations for us last week. I don't know if he wants me to mention how much, but it was not a small amount. So we really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just add to the pile for next year, I guess, at STOV. We'll be buying everybody shrimp and gumbo.
That's it.
No. We're going to go to the casino. We're going to bet everything on black, like Blazer Snipe said.
That's it.
We're
going
to double our money. We're doing.
That's what we're doing. There you go. That would be funny for all of us to walk into the casino with that pile and say, hey, this is from all of us. Let's see if we win. Boom. We lost. Okay, let's turn around and walk away.
It's like, all right, let's do another 3 years of shows. We'll try this again.
Exactly.
That'd be so bad. So irresponsible, but so fun to film.
I don't want to do that now. Just
yeah, I kind of want to film and put it up. Kind of like your quick little YouTube video you did, Daniel. That was just hysterical. I laughed so damn hard. You put that together so quick. It was brilliant. I love it. If you haven't gone to our YouTube channel and watched that, it's basically the Force and Trek, and we'll get into what that means.
Oh, I forgot to watch it.
Oh, you got to watch
that. I have to go back and watch it now.
I'm sorry. It's like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. It's awesome.
So. Maybe I'll attach it to the beginning of the show.
Yeah, you should. Just to play it again. It's pretty good. I mean, yeah. You did a fantastic. You got to do more of those, man. That was good.
So. You know,
Michael Burnham inspired you. Actually, no, Booker inspired
Booker,
you.
Booker inspired me. Yeah,
Booker.
Booker the book. Booker the book.
Well, Booker Keith wrestler always inspires me.
All right. But. Any other feedback before we get? I think you.
So I posted the group that we were recording. I also posted a meme that had six different cuts of fries, and everybody said their favorite version of fries. There's no consensus among our group. We all love fries. No. But Tim did say that he loved Lower Decks. It was all about fun and all about references to older Trek. He didn't give a crap about what may have pissed people off about it. It was perfectly imperfect, which that's cool. Yeah. Looks like there was a lot of agreement about malt vinegar in your fries. And let's see. I did a poll about what people thought of the first episode of season 3 Discovery. So when we get to the topic, we can talk about that poll and what people said. Yep. So,
the only condiments I ever use with fries is mayonnaise. That's it. I dip fries in mayonnaise because I love mayonnaise.
Okay, well, now I'm going to ask you guys, what's your favorite cut of fries?
Five Guys.
No, but like what cut? So shoestring, crinkle.
Oh, it's just straight thick cut. Salted.
Yep. Lately, I like the waffle fries.
Yeah.
Right? The waffle fries is the best.
Yeah. Waffle fries at Chick-fil-A are pretty good, yeah.
Yes, yes. You take it, you kind of fold it in half and make like a little waffle fry taco. Uh-huh. And then you kind of stick it into the ketchup and kind of just
like a scoop. I don't
know. Yeah. Yeah.
Motorboating the ketchup.
So you motorboat the ketchup. Cause you know, if you've been to Chick-fil-A, you know that there's two ketchup options. You can rip off the top and squeeze it out, or you can, bathtub it. I bathtub it. I take the top off and it's just a bathtub of ketchup. And yeah, I make a little waffle fry taco and dip it in there. And speaking of tacos, I think it was, did you post the taco with the Franks and beans?
No, somebody else did.
Somebody else? Did. Yeah. You know, somebody reported that post.
I know.
They wanted a takedown of that. Yeah.
I was like, hysterical. All right, this guy doesn't listen to the show. He's just in the group for the Star Trek stuff. So I was going to shame him in the comments, but I just left it alone.
Our group is getting bonkers, man. It's so active.
Yeah, I know.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yep, it is. And I have a hard time keeping up with it. So I apologize for not being on there very often. It's been busy work-wise. So
yeah.
It's been all over the place.
We also have the tournament going.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we have Star Trek, the Galaxy's Most Unpredictable Star Trek Podcast presents the Tuvix Memorial Sci-Fi Movie Tournament. God, that's so long. Yeah. The current poll as of today, Sunday, is, I think it's a good matchup. Men in Black versus Ghostbusters.
Ooh.
So far, Ghostbusters is winning.
I was going to say, that's that one's easy.
Yeah.
Sorry, Men in Black.
Yeah. Well, I voted for Men in Black.
You're dead to me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I figured that might be the case.
He actually got out. I was going to just hold still and be quiet for a few seconds if you're going to do the same thing and he'll think we're both gone, but.
Here's the way I see it. Ghostbusters is the better movie. I will admit that.
But stop talking. Stop.
That's it. That's how you're supposed to vote. That's you're it. Done. Don't ruin yourself now.
There's nothing else.
Well, but you know, like a salad is the better meal you're supposed to eat. But every now and then you want a hamburger. Men in Black is my hamburger.
Hamburger? It's, who eats a hamburger?
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Dude, I was out till 2 a.m. I've got nothing going right now.
Ooh, there's nothing going on up there.
It's just all Starbucks.
I'll give you a better analogy. Ghostbusters is pizza.
Okay.
Men in Black is pizza with ham and pineapple on it. You want to try it every now and then. You want to try it. But you always come home.
Here's my breakdown of this whole analogy.
Okay.
Sorry, Lee. I was watching the first Enterprise on the holodeck. You know, Archer and those guys. What a story. Those guys had a long road getting from there to here.
I'm only hard on you when you make me hard.
I can't help it.
But yeah, so Ghostbusters winning 14-3 right now. So
yeah, well.
That's about right.
Dogs and cats living together.
Yeah. I need to have that clip too. I tried to get the clip out of the show, Disco's premiere anyway, where the two guards are talking about, this is taking too long. You want to get a sandwich? Yeah, let's go get a sandwich. I wanted to have that clip so bad. I just didn't get time.
Do you remember Living Color Men on Film? Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
So, like, I thought we should have hated it when we don't like something.
Oh, no, there you go.
Hated it. Yeah, exactly. Do that again, Chad.
No.
That just like flowed right out.
Yeah, I can't
like the horse. It just flowed.
Men on Film in Living Chad, Color. Here we go.
Chad, what's your favorite Enterprise?
Not the bloody A, B, C, or D. Let's see how bad this is.
Oh, it's they're long.
Oh, it's raining men.
Yeah. These skits nowadays.
No,
you couldn't.
Nope.
You couldn't.
And we're chancing at just laughing at them.
We probably are.
Edward and I'm Antoine Mayweather, and welcome to Men on Films, the show that looks at movies from a male point of view. Tonight's show is sponsored by.
Oh gosh.
Nuts and Honey.
That's the one I was going to send you.
Yeah, I'll just stop right there. I'll get a clip of that.
Yeah, we need the hated it.
Just get the hated it.
Just get the hated it. All right.
Yeah. That's your homework for the week.
That's my homework.
Yeah. Well, should we get to the topic?
Oh yeah, I guess we probably should. We're just having too much fun talking about whatever the hell we want. And here we go.
Talking about Star Trek in this week's topic. Talking about the Star Trek in this week's topic.
All right, and of course we're talking about Disco, season 3, episode 1, You Are My Hope, Michael Burnham. I don't know what the title was, something about hope, and it says part 1 in the title, which is kind of interesting because there's no part 2 in any of the title names, so that's fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I'll pull them up. I had them pulled up a second ago, and then I think I closed it by accident, but...
Well, I mean, it is part 1 of the season. I don't know. I'm trying, man.
Well, I know that at one point in season 3, there's going to be a unification part 3 or something like that.
Yeah, what? I don't understand what the hell. I know. So,
yeah.
Oh, unification part
Spock
3.
One. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so,
episode
you know what?
Two, part 2, You Are the Hope Is You.
There I is a part 2 right of The Hope Is You.
Yeah.
So my prediction, I think they kind of laid. I think they kind of laid the groundwork for unification part 3 in this episode, when she turns to Book and says, "The Andorians and the Orions working together. What's going on here?"
Yeah.
So I think unification Unification 3 is going to be like the realized merger of Vulcans and Romulans.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
Could be.
Well, there's a lot of things that could be interesting for what they could do here. I mean, it's just unending. Okay, so yeah, I guess there is a part two. There is, well, that's weird. So it says October 15th release date for this one. That Hope Is You, part one.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says for the second episode, they're not saying who's writing it. Same director as the first, Olatunde Asamoah. October 22nd.
I'm glad you said that, not me.
Yeah, October 22nd release date. But it says the title, it has two titles. The first title is Far From Home. And the second title is That Hope Is You, part two, which I had not noticed that. Mm-hmm. Until now, because the third episode of the season is called People of Earth, directed by Jonathan Frakes. So I don't understand. Maybe they're going to show two episodes next Thursday. Maybe that's what they're doing.
I don't think that. I think that if anything, they would have shown two episodes this week.
Yeah.
Maybe they could decide on. Oh, you know what? It's part two. It's the sequel. So it's like Terminator 2 Judgment Day. So it's The Hope Is You part two.
You know what it is? It's just a really long title. It's like Star Trek: The Galaxy's Most Unpredictable Podcast presents the Tuvix Memorial Sci-Fi Movie Challenge.
Wow, did you have that pulled up to read that? How would you know that?
No, part? No, like, and I don't even know if that was right.
I think it's right. That's pretty damn good. That's impressive. That is impressive.
So Far From Home. Yeah, next week's episode. Are we thinking it's a dog and or two dogs and a cat trying to?
It is.
Yeah, trying to get their way back to their own.
Yeah, Far From Home.
They're trying to get the warp drive back online.
Yeah, so Shadow.
Narrated by Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
In his Beetlejuice voice.
Okie dokie. Yeah, exactly. All right, so this episode, we find Michael Burnham just appears. Smashes into the ship.
And you ever see a meme and you read it in the actor's voice?
Yeah.
In your head. Yeah.
You can't hear it any other way.
I saw one and it was Beetlejuice in a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. and I read it in his voice and it was like, yeah, I'll have one of those mocha latte bullshits.
You want another shot. You know you do. Come on. You want another shot. You want another shot. Come on.
Oh, my Lord. All right. I'm sorry.
Okay, so Star Daniel Trek. Getting us back on track here. Sorry. You want to read the synopsis for The Hope Is You?
Yeah, go for it.
No. I was asking you if you want to.
Oh, I was just coming up with it off the top of my head.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. So.
That always works out. Go ahead.
Right. It'll be fine. She's flying around in space, shows up in the future, smacks into Booker's ship, and, breaks
it. Someone's got to explain that one to me.
How did she not die if she hit the spaceship that hard? And
So he's getting shot at.
Right.
He's getting shot at. It's just hitting the shields. No problem. No big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the squid and jelly ship, essentially, all over again from the JJ movies. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that, and it looks like that, kind of, right? And so but it's not doing any damage to him. He's really not worried about it. He's not flustered. He's just kind of dodging, evading. And then he sees this wormhole open up, and he's like, holy shit. No. Like, all of a sudden, this woman in a spacesuit runs into him, and I'm going to crash. But the other guy just leaves. He just leaves.
Yeah.
He doesn't follow him down to try to get his cargo or whatever. He just lets them both crash. So kind of an odd little opener there. But even before that happens, we see the Indian dude in the old Federation office just doing his daily routine. Which
that's what I was going to mention.
Right. So. That was pretty. I like that. I really enjoyed that. That was an interesting story. Little quick story. It's almost a short track is what it was. Three-minute opener.
I've got to say, I am very proud of the Star Trek producers to finally reveal the truth to the public that birds are not real.
Yes. I was going to ask you about that. I typed a post into the group and then I didn't post it.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm gonna save this for the show. And then I completely forgot about it until now.
They are clearly patriots who are bird truthers. Yep. And I'm glad they are spreading the feathered gospel.
Yes, they're just alarm clocks, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. They're holographic alarm clocks, as a matter of fact. So
they're drones, but they can't give that out right away. So.
Right.
Right.
They don't want to go too future tech. Mm-hmm. So, which the most futuristic thing in this whole episode was the dissolving bed and redissolving desks.
Yeah.
Everything else wasn't that far out from what we've already seen, other than maybe the, well, even the transporters. So,
weren't that far out. On the Will Wheaton show, they called it replicated matter. And so what they said is, it's not that it can turn into anything. It has to be pre-programmed with certain shapes, and then those are the things it can turn into.
See, why go to that length, though? It's just a hologram. They just make it a hologram. You already had that technology 1,000 years ago. So why go to that length of doing all that? You've got a hologram with matter-energy conversion. It's done.
Because a hologram is something that needs to be continually projected. It takes energy to continually project it.
True.
Okay? This device creates a chair and then turns off. And it's a chair until you disintegrate it and turn it into something else, or disintegrate it and wait until something else is needed.
Fair enough.
That's my take.
Fair enough. Yeah, that makes sense. Plus, the
it's cool.
Energy is limited supply, apparently. So.
Yeah. And so, okay, so the whole thing here, she jumps into the future, doesn't know where she's at. She's trying to figure out if where the rest of the crew is. We still don't know where the Discovery's at, if they jumped in at a different location or a different time or what. Right. Because obviously they're going through the same quote unquote portal, but, we don't see the ship come out anywhere near, the time that she does. So she's trying to figure out what to do, realizes that the Federation's not what it used to be, or just flat out doesn't exist. Can't really tell at this point if there's only two ships that the guy knows about. And then we get to the middle of the episode where they kind of have to fight their way out of, a city. That Booker reports to that's where he goes to get the only little remnants of the lithium crystals that are left. That's when she finds out about
Mos Eisley.
Yep, they went to Mos Eisley, found out about the burn, tried to get some crystals so they could warp, and then they basically book it out of there with Booker and get back up into space in his ship, find out that there's some kind of oversized slug he's trying to save. He's really just a conservationist and a humanitarian at that.
The slug was named Molly.
Yep, slugged his name Molly, and she's a queen because she's going to give birth, apparently, mating season or something on the planet where he's taken all of them with all these other people, and that's when he reveals his Jedi powers and summons a flower from the ground to heal her wound, just like Rey. It's amazing. He's a Jedi gardener, and he speaks Islamic, Muslim. I don't know. That's clearly...
it's Arabic.
Clearly, the Islamic language he's speaking when, Arabic. Dang it, I couldn't think of that. So it's Arabic. I'll play that just for myself.
You really are an imbecile.
Yeah. So, it's Arabic that he's speaking when he does that. So, they get away with whatever she finds the Federation or the one guy anyway. And that's where they kind of leave off after he releases the slug into the wild. Don't know what's going to happen next. Don't know how she's going to find the rest of the crew. Don't know if the next episode is going to be showing the Discovery coming through the portal, although I kind of think it is. But we'll see. That's the setup for season 3. And it's kind of a world-building episode. They're kind of rebuilding what the whole world now looks like in 3318. That's the year that she's in now. So...
I think if I remember right from interviews as this was like getting ready to be put on the air, Discovery is like 10 years away from them. So she's going to have been in this new future for a while by herself.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So if they meet up each other in the next episode, then we're going to see a 10-year time lapse from when she got
there. I believe so. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll meet up in the next episode. In fact, I hope they don't.
Yeah, I don't.
Like,
that's too soon.
I would like to see some Discovery without Michael.
Yeah.
This way, we'll know what it's going to be like if they kill her off.
Right. I will say this: when she got hit with that drug that made her like giggly and all I really liked the character. It was a lot more tolerable.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that the fundamental mistake they've made with Discovery is making her like part Vulcan and very stoic and no personality.
I
think they've let go of that. I think they've let go of a lot of things this season, and I think that's one of the things they've let go of. And I've said this for a long time, Sonequa Martin-Green is a fantastic actress. If they would let her act, then she would be fine. And they did that in this episode. And I hope they keep doing that.
Yeah.
Because no, I didn't find her intolerable. I found the episode. I love the episode. So I give the episode a thumbs up. I thought it was a great episode, a wonderful opener to the season. It's so far, it's kind of what I was hoping for, a soft reboot of Discovery itself with a hard reboot of her character. And it seems like that's what they've done so far.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they'll slide back into that once she meets up with the rest of her crew and all of a sudden she'll stand up straight and act like Burnham again. I hope not, but I hope she's more of what we saw in this episode. So,
yeah, me too. Me too.
So I'm looking down the list of shows and I think we're going to, I mean, if this is right, then we're going to get two episodes next week because even later on down in the, they show, you know, let's see. Yeah, episode 3, People of Earth. Episode 4, Forget Me Not. Episode 5, Die Trying. Episode 6, Scavengers. Episode 7, Unification Part 3. Episode 8, The Sanctuary. And episode 9 and 10, 9/10, are both Terra Firma.
Yeah, but the release dates are different. One is December 10th and one is December 17th.
So that's a part 1, part 2. Now I see that. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Wonder why they just call it Terra Firma on both of them, but whatever. They probably changed. That'll probably change.
Yeah.
That's far out. I mean, we're talking about all the way out to January 7th, the 13th episode called Outside, which is the episode where they all go outside and into a hot tub with the snow on the ground for January 7th. So that's that episode, just to give everybody a...
With little pina colada drinks, umbrellas.
Yep. Yeah. That's when Riker walks back in and says, this is a wonderful hologram. Sorry I was late, but...
Well, no. That's when he shows up at the end on the Titan again to save the day.
That's it. I'm down with that.
Every season.
Yeah. And that's when he picks up Michelle Yeoh and says, all of you have to stay. Michelle, you're coming with me.
Right.
So he goes back into back into time.
I can only bring one person back to the normal timeline.
Yep. Only one person at a time. I'll see you guys in 50 years. Hopefully you're still alive.
Yeah.
Okay. So overall thoughts, your guys'. I mean, what Daniel, thumbs up, like it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Jedi powers included. We'll see what happens, what they do with the Force. You know?
That's an interesting little twist. That's just an interesting little twist. I'm not sure what the point of that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's clearly got some sort of... I think he described it as every once in a while. Most of the people on his planet are hunters, and that's what they do. And every once in a while, someone comes along who is the exact opposite of that, like him. There's very few of them. But he even mentioned that that brings a balance to their culture or their society. He even says that at one point.
So he's going to bring balance to the Force?
This is the second time that theme has come up. Because remember, Saru's people were hunted.
Uh-huh.
So that's a new theme for Kurtzman.
Yep. So now he's got the balance, he's got the mysteries of the mind, and he's got the magic blood.
And hunting people.
And he's put them all together in Booker. Booker has all three of those. He's got magic blood for his telepathic powers or whatever he's doing, right?
Yeah.
He's mysterious, you know, because of how he conjures things. So he's got mystery going for him. And he's the one who brings balance to the Force. So, indeed. You know, so there you go. He put all three of those into one character.
He was the one spoken of in the prophecy.
That's it. That's what it is.
So in the Will Wheaton show, they said one thing that I thought was interesting, that every time Booker uses his power, it's only around Burnham. And David Aiello, like the actor, he wasn't suggesting that like she triggers his power, but more that she just happened to be there every time he used it.
She needs it due to her poor decision making.
Right, right.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So she's also the main character, so it stands.
So wait. Yeah. He just suggested that the two of them together are a dyad.
No. He didn't suggest that. The opposite. That she just happened to be there.
Now I want the clip of the blind guy from Rogue One. I am one of the Force. The Force is with me. I am one of the Force. The Force is with me.
I thought about using that in my video too.
Yeah.
They also said that there is actually two cats that play Grudge, and one is significantly fluffier. So when they have close-ups, they have the fluffier cat.
Okay, so tell me what you heard about the cat, because here's what my takeaway was from it. I have a couple things I want to talk about and discuss here with this episode and other things. Maybe. So when he makes that mention, as they finally all surround him around the ship and they're about ready to take their cargo or whatever, they're talking about the cat and they're talking about his cargo at the same time, interchangeably. Yeah. So I couldn't tell if Book refers to the cat or the slug as being a queen, because they talk about, I'm going to feed this to an entire planet, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it's a delicacy. I don't think they're talking about the cat when they say that. I think they're talking about the slug. And then when
that's
his
what
response
I thought too.
Is I think he's talking about the slug, but a lot of people online were saying, no, he's talking about the cat, which makes me think of the cat from Avengers or whatever it was, where it's not a, it's it, the Skrull are afraid of the cat because it's not really a cat. It's whatever
right.
it is that
yeah, yeah.
swallows everybody.
Yeah.
So did we see the cat? Did we see the cat again after he dropped off the slug?
Maybe in passing, like in the background. But
maybe, but I don't
I'm
know.
Just, I'm wondering if the slug is a shapeshifter of some sorts and they're actually the same.
Thing.
No, they're not the same. I don't think they're the same.
No, they're not.
Two
no.
different
yeah.
things. Yeah, it is two okay. different things.
I watched the episode on a yeah. screen about this big. I watched
yeah.
it on my phone from my hotel room. So
yep. I
I'm
did
sure,
it well Thursday morning. Yeah,
yeah. I'm yeah. sure there's stuff that I missed.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the Will Wheaton show, they didn't specify that. They didn't even like break that down as a distinction. It was more about how I think his name's David Aiello, the actor that plays Book. He was apparently he's not a big animal person, is the vibe I got. And so it took him a while to get used to the cat. And he said that he the cat trainer, which that's a job apparently. Yeah, he took a bunch of cat treats.
People have no,
yeah,
it's no like a, it's like they a won't go to
bullshit yeah. made up job.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
so the cat trainer gave yes, him a bunch of cat yeah. treats, and that's how he got the cat to like him. Which is what okay. anyone would do apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
We need to pay someone $55,000 to sit and eat the craft service food all day long and tell us yeah. that.
You know,
we
I can
don't
go,
know.
I can go down
that's how out
for
of touch
a bucket
we are.
A can of tuna. The cat will love me.
Yes. I'm just yeah. going to slather it on my neck. It'll want to lay there all day.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
done.
Slather it on my neck. There's a phrase you don't hear every day.
No.
Slather it on my neck.
Nope. So two of my funnest sequences in this episode. The first one was where she does get sprayed with that powder and she goes completely insane, which is just great. I did save all the things, you know, that was kind of funny. But then of course before it takes effect, the two guards are sitting there like, did you change the dosage on that thing? No, I didn't change the dosage. They're just buddy comedy at this point.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, well, it's taking too long. Let's go get a sandwich. All right, I'll go get a sandwich. You know, it's like they turn to walk away and all of a sudden she snaps into it. It's kind of like, I kind of wanted to see them go get a sandwich from the commissary. Like, literally, yeah. Are they going to get a ham and cheese? Are they going to get Reuben? What kind of sandwich was it? Was it going to have franken beans in the same tortilla shell? What would you have in space? What would Mos Eisley in 3318 be serving for a sandwich? What would that sandwich be?
I got to go grilled cheese, man.
Grilled cheese, yeah, tomato
cheese.
Yep.
I think it would be a franken beans taco, but I'm thinking it's a soft. It's a soft shell. It's not a crunchy.
You know, we totally have determined messy. That a hot dog is a sandwich.
That's
yes,
true.
We have so. Multiple times over.
Yeah,
like it won't die. It won't go away. It's always
so,
there.
So, who wants a chili cheese sandwich?
Chili cheese sandwich.
I would love a chili cheese sandwich right about now.
I know, right? That sounds good.
Yeah, it does. I would take a hot Reuben, the sauerkraut, the Thousand Island, the crunchy chips, a sweet tea. I'm going to McAllister's. That's what I'm describing to you right now.
Okay.
McAllister's.
All right. I don't know what that is, but enjoy it.
McAllister's Deli. Best sweet tea.
Okay. Yep. Right.
Then the other scene that I thought was great, moving along here, it was when Michael got eaten by the slug. And then got
yeah.
spit out. That was great.
I figured at that point you stood up and cheered.
Yes. I was like, oh, she's dead. Nah, shit. There she is. Nah, it's okay.
So I ran a poll about the episode. And 59 people voted that they loved it. 12 people voted that they hated it. I gave no other options. Because you know what? Who cares? I know that some people were like, oh, I want it in the middle. You know what? Whatever, dude.
It's a yes or no. You liked it or you didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
Exactly.
Yep.
Elam Garrick apparently is in our group.
Yeah.
And he says,
that's what he wants you to think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Decent setup. Let's see where it takes us from here. Adam says, quite Star Wars-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
It was filmed in Iceland. Uh-huh. What'd you say?
I said it was filmed in Iceland.
Yeah, yeah. They talked about that on the Will Wheaton show.
Yeah.
Chad says, all the smart plugs in the U.S. suddenly exploded.
Yeah, we got to talk about that for a minute. There's something.
Yeah, we need to.
Yeah.
That all the dilithium exploded at once, just about, and that's the burn.
And no one knows why.
And nobody knows why.
So that's not the Omega particle. That's nothing from Voyager. That's nothing from any of that. This is a totally separate thing. It happened over 100 years ago. Book barely even knows about it. Is clueless. Even the guy at the in Starfleet there that's just waiting around still doesn't quite know what happened. At least doesn't act like he does. He's not very forthcoming. I'll put it that way. Maybe he will be in the next episode. They did
show that the mystery of that is a big thing for the season.
Yeah, well, sure. How could it not be?
Exactly. That's what
Discovery is going to try to figure out, because they're the only ones who can hop around without having to get these last few crystals that are left over, which, you know, if it's been over 100 years, how many crystals are left over and how come they didn't explode? Like, what's the deal with that?
Yeah.
So, and what's, I mean, I guess that means everything is slowly dying. Commerce is slowly dying. Mm-hmm. Interplanetary shipments are slowly dying. I mean, you're getting fewer and fewer, well, and fewer COVID movements, right?
They're on a it's on a smaller scale. I don't think that it's I think they kind of lead you to believe that the Federation is gone, and right. I don't think that's the case. I think the Federation is gone where they are, but I think if you're in the Alpha Quadrant and the Beta Quadrant, you know, the Federation is still very real. It's still a very powerful force, but it's not something that can.
Boy,
its sphere,
only had two ships.
Its sphere of influence is much smaller. Yeah. I mean, think about the British Empire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and 200 years ago, they controlled a quarter of the world.
Yeah.
And what are they? You know, what do they control now? They control.
They don't even control their own parliament at this point.
They control an area like the size of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But
right.
They still exist. They still have a sphere of influence. It's just a lot smaller than it was, and that's kind of how I figure it is. And
yeah,
you know, at some point, I think the goal is to reconnect everything, and then we'll see the second coming of the United Federation of Planets.
Maybe that's what Unification 3 means. Maybe it's not unification in terms of Romulans and the Vulcans. I mean, maybe it's something else.
Or it could be the three could be the, wasn't there three original? Wasn't it the humans, the Vulcans, and the Andorians? Weren't they the original three?
And the Tellarites.
And the Tellarites. All right, never mind. As I was.
No, I don't. God, think of the. What a pair that is for the first two to join your Federation, Andorians and Tellarites. Holy shit.
Yeah.
So let's go scrape the bottom of the barrel.
So all the dilithium in the universe or in the galaxy or whatever exploded.
That
so
means
now,
ice cream queen girl that Tilly loved, that her whole
planet. Yeah, I was going to mention her.
Her whole planet must have exploded then. That must be gone. Yep.
So, Book mentions something about slipstream drive.
Oh yeah, I didn't. Yeah,
and that was a different form of propulsion that they toyed with on Voyager.
Right.
Quantum slipstream.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what's. You know, I missed exactly what he said, but I know that he mentioned it. So is that an alternative that they use, or?
Or is that just what he calls it, warp drive? I don't know, because he kind of mentions where he doesn't have enough. I think he says he doesn't have enough power for the slipstream, or can't create a slipstream. Oh, because of the wormhole thing, time travel thing that she did, there's no slipstream now for 3 light years or something. I haven't watched it again. He does make a mention of something that along that lines of because of that her time jump. Now there'll be interference of some kind for 3 or 4 light years. I don't know if that had to do with the slipstream or if that had to do with his warp capabilities with dilithium crystals. I don't know.
I wonder if they're going to touch on that. Like, remember that for a while their warp drive was tearing apart space.
Yeah.
So like maybe that's why like you can only hit certain pockets of slipstream.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, if they didn't use, you know, the Omega particle, they're not going to use that either. So
no, they're going to use something different, I think. Mm-hmm. See, this is the fun of it right here. Right. And so this was the problem with the first two seasons.
Yeah.
With where they put them now with where they've put this, we kind of get back to those things that we love doing and nitpicking where it's not about canon anymore. It's just about the story and what they're doing and what the characters are doing and going through. It's kind of like saying, well, let's sit and have a conversation about what is really the problem between Miles and Keiko, like really, like why couldn't he ever be a good husband, like kind of thing. You know, you sit and have those good old conversations about characters you know and love, and I'm hoping that after this season we can kind of have those conversations about this crew, whereas we kind of could, but kind like Saru, obviously, Tilly a little bit, Culber and Wilson Cruz and that whole thing a little bit, but that all that stuff was just kind of stunted, and it was like a 1 or 2 episode thing you can hang your hat on, and that was it. Because everything else was Michael.
It's because it's the Michael Burnham show, and that's and that's what's different about this show. Every other show, it's an ensemble cast.
Yep.
And with this show, it just isn't. And you know, the reality is, we're 3 years into this show, and if I was standing on the bridge, going around the room, pointing to the stations, I can't name most of the people who man those stations.
And that's where, after they literally introduce themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And you know, on the other side, Lower Decks, which has been on for 15 minutes.
Yeah,
I could tell you all the characters.
Yeah,
it took a few weeks, but I could tell you all the characters.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm hoping that changes. And you know, there was an article somewhere that I read about, you know, third time's a charm. That's kind of a running thing sometimes with Trek episodes or Trek shows, where that third year is their best year.
Get good.
Yeah, that's what happened with TNG. I don't know necessarily if that's what happened with DS9, although
DS9 was about season 4.
I was gonna say, because that's when he shaved his head and had to go tee. That's when we got the real Sisko.
Yes.
In my mind, but and Enterprise was okay all throughout. I don't think they really had a takeoff season. It was just
the season 4 was their takeoff season. It was too late.
Yeah, it was too late at that point. Yeah.
True. That is true. So,
still angry.
Yeah, someone wrote an article last week or the week before about I forget where I read it, about what would a season 5, what would have season 5 of Enterprise looked like.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember reading something about that. Like, they were going to end the temporal Cold War in, like, the that guy that's always talking to the...
Daniels?
No. The one that's talking to the bad guys. Like, the
mystery yeah. future guy?
That was going to be future Archer.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
Yeah.
I don't recall that. Yeah. I probably blanked that from my mind, because that's not a good idea.
No, it's not.
But well, speaking of which, Book makes a comment in this episode about there being a temporal war of some kind
that ended,
and that's why time travel is banned. Which I don't know who the hell is enforcing that ban.
How could you enforce it?
Yeah, I don't.
You can't enforce it, and even if you know, they said all the time travel technology was destroyed. Yeah. Okay, it was destroyed today, but that technology still exists. 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking time machine.
Right.
They got rid of all the DeLoreans and phone booths.
Maybe that's why they blew up all the dilithium, was to stop people from traveling through time, because they have to use dilithium for that.
Maybe. Yeah.
That'd be a weird.
That would be very weird.
That'd be a weird take on that end of it. But
yeah,
there was a lot. There was an awful lot said in this first episode about what's been going on. And thankfully, very little was said about anything prior to that last 100+ years, right?
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden we didn't get references to TNG and Picard era stuff. Like that would make no sense for anybody in that time to even think about any of the current timeline of any of the shows. Like, you wouldn't hear a reference to Picard. You wouldn't hear a reference to Kirk. You wouldn't hear a reference to Sisko. Why would you? They're so far into the future. So much has happened. It'd be kind of like, I mean, I guess if you wanted to have a study of ancient history, all of a sudden today you'd be hearing about Plato, right? But
right,
how
right.
often do you hear about that in the common vernacular? No, we're talking about things that happened in the last 100 years. So,
yeah.
So I don't want to hear any references to existing shows in this season.
Although, if they just suddenly like poof, Sisko appeared because the prophets dropped him off in this timeline, I'm down for that.
Or Q. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Look what
Q
you
would
humans
be cool.
have done.
He can be whenever, you know.
He can be whenever. So that's a difference. Any Q. It didn't have to be John DeLancey, although why would it not be? You know, you could show him old because it is 1,000 years.
David Tennant Q.
Do what?
David Tennant as Q, I think, would be great.
Yeah, probably.
Or Pauly Shore.
No.
No Pauly Shore Q?
No Pauly Shore.
I feel like Dan is hanging his head in shame for that comment.
Yeah.
No, not Pauly Shore. What's his name, though? Who was on Voyager, the glasses.
Because I'm the weasel.
Yeah, that.
It's the Leaning Tower of Cheesa.
All right, anything else you guys want to go over with this episode? It was a good first opener. I really enjoyed it. It's kind of what I was hoping for. Like I said, a soft reboot of the series itself, a hard reboot of Michael Burnham. We got both of those things. We've got a smattering of information about what's going on. The guy in the office, I don't even know what his name is. Did they ever say what his name is?
No, I mean, with the closed caption on, it had his name, but I don't remember what it was.
You know what I'm a little disappointed at?
What's that?
You know, the guy was standing there telling Michael Burnham that I've been waiting for you and I have this flag and it can only be raised by a Starfleet officer. And then she refers to him as a Federation officer. I hate when they mix up the word Starfleet and Federation. They're not the same thing.
Yeah.
They're not the same thing. But anyway, you could see the disappointment in his face that he never became a Starfleet officer.
Mm-hmm.
She has the ability.
Yeah, field commission.
As a Starfleet officer to grant him a field commission right there. I thought it would have been so much more powerful if she told him to raise his right hand and then swore him in as an officer of Starfleet and told him, you hang the flag.
Yeah. Yep.
I know it's a little thing, but it's like such a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that too. That should have been done. Cause then I was interested, like, oh, I wonder what they make him swear on. Cause like, you know, we use the Bible but like, what would they use?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they use anything. I mean, I don't think they really use the Bible anymore. A lot of places, you can substitute the word affirm instead of swear because, you know, we're not the same society we were 100 years ago.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
All right. Well,
I guess that covers it, huh?
Yeah, that covers it, man.
That's it.
We have to come up with a smooth way to end these shows.
No, I love the train
after
wreck.
All of this
the hard
time,
stop
why?
Is great.
I still remember our very first episode. Daniel this will pause, and then Daniel goes, "Well, I guess that's just the end."
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how it is sometimes when you're just sitting around the pub, three guys talking about whatever you're talking about. When it's over, you don't really know until that one guy gets up and starts to walk towards the door. Then the other two guys are like, oh, okay, you follow along. We're done. You know, we don't have the other.
There he goes.
He just exited the shuttlecraft.
right into the vacuum of space.
Yeah, there you go. So,
my brother, he's got Down syndrome, right?
Yeah.
And so whenever we have parties, if it's gone on too long, he will literally just yell, "All right, everybody, get out." He just flat out means it.
You got to get audio of him saying that sometime.
Oh,
we'll play
the
that
best.
On the show. Yeah, when it's over, we'll just play that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right.
Good show.
Yep. As always, wonderful.
Good good to see you. I'm glad we were able to pull it together because I wasn't sure I was going to be available, but
yeah.
I'm glad I was. It's always fun seeing you guys.
Yeah. It is. It's a pleasure.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Well, there you have it. Another episode in the can. Check us out at trekcast.com. Also, if you would, please subscribe to us via iTunes. Leave those reviews. Subscribe to us. We'll get some numbers. Get up the list. Get more listeners. Do more shows. Have more fun. But for now, we're all done. So live long and prosper, and we'll see you next week.